all the reason why my life has turned right. Every day I'm thankful, and at times I don't show you. The world would be incomplete if I didn't know
who I am.
If I didn't know you, where would I be? What would I do if I didn't have you?
Every time you kiss me, you make me remember that sunny fall day at the end of September. Boy, I can't imagine, no, what would I do if I didn't know you?
Like poetry and has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions, and news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking each and every one of you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora, and you're sure to find our quest moment, where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So I thank you for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. I'll begin by saying good morning to everyone here and to let everybody know that your microphones are on, and we're going to start out with Tanisha Gardner. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. And good morning, Justin. How are you this morning?
Good morning, everybody.
All right. And Mr. Harris, good morning. How are you?
I'm just doing fine.
Okay, that's cool. And before I introduce our next student host, I want to start out by saying this week our two student hosts, Walter Pierce and Justin Hill, present their regular feature segment of Diamonds, Definitions, and Curses. Now, starting off, Walter presents an unknown fact on inventor Mary Kenner, while Justin defines the word anti-lynching. Rounding out our show, Justin returns with a featured journalist, Ida B. Wells, followed by Walter with his definition on the word faraha, which is in fact a Swahili word, and he'll tell us more about that later. And we end our broadcast with the melodic song writer and singer, Cynthia Erval. Okay, so I'm probably pronouncing her name wrong, and I hope not, right? But as we continue, I now would like to say good morning to Walter Pierce and let you start the show out with our first segment.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Walter.
Welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Now, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, Mary Beatrice Davidson Kenner, also known as Mary Kenner, was born in Monroe, North Carolina, and came from a family of inventors. Her father, whom she credited for her initial interest in discovery, was Sidney Nathaniel Davidson, who patented a clothing press which would fit in suitcases and a window washer for trains and invented a stretcher with wheels for infants. Her grandfather invented a light signal for trains. Though this invention was stolen from him, her sister, Mildred Davidson Austin Smith, invented and commercially sold board games. Kenner graduated from high school in 1960. She attended Howard University. Although she was unable to finish due to financial difficulties, Kenner worked as a professional floral arranger and had four flower shops scattered around the Washington, D.C. area. She worked in her stores for a total of 23 years after dropping out of college due to financial difficulties. She invented an adjustable sanitary belt with a built-in moisture-proof napkin pocket. In 1956, she was finally able to save enough money to get her first patent on it. However, the company that first showed interest in her invention, the Sun Nap Pack Company, rejected it after they discovered she was black. Her patent for the sanitary belt was prevented for 30 years. Kenner never made any money off the sanitary belt because her patent expired and became a public domain, allowing it to be manufactured freely on October 19, 1982. Between 1956 and 1987, she received five total patents on her household and personal item creation. She also held a patent on the backwasher that could be mounted on the shower or bathtub wall. This invention was patented in 1987, and she also patented the carrier attachment for a walker in 1959 after Mildred developed multiple prototypes. Kenner was married to renowned heavyweight boxer James Kenner. Together, they lived in McLean, Virginia, near the Kennedy's complex. They were foster parents to five boys. Mary Kenner will pass away on January 13, 2006. I would like to thank you for tuning in to my segment of Diamonds about Mary Kenner. As you can see, it is Women's History Month, so I want to give shout out to some unknown women African-American women specifically out there who's made a contribution, but you probably don't hear much about them. You know, Mary Kenner and her family have created many inventions that we still use today, and it's very important that we highlight her today. So thank you. This is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
I met her on a walkway, stared as she walked past. She looked back at me sideways and said, I can't help but to ask. Said you wanna be starting something, got to be starting something. Said you wanna be starting something, got to be starting something. We end up going back to her place. Wish I could tell you what I saw. Sexiest woman in a negligee. We hit it off until the morn, as you heard us say.
I'ma save all the time of my boots.
Introduce our next student host, Justin Hill, with his definition.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. This is student host Justin Hill at WSOU. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents... Wait, am I doing definitions or diamonds?
You're doing definitions.
Okay. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And for today, my definition segment will be on the word anti-lynching. And that means to put to death by mob action without legal approval or permission. And that concludes my segment on definitions. This is to the host, Justin Hill, on WSOU.
Tell me, what do we do the same?
All right. Good morning again, everybody. And I want to bring you in, our panelists, starting with Tanisha Gardner. And I'd like to ask you, what did you know about Mary Kinner, the first Diamond segment this morning?
This is my first time ever hearing about her, so thank you, Walter, for that. I didn't know that she created the sanitary belt, which is actually a sanitary napkin. And that is so profound because, you know, women and young ladies use it all the time, not even knowing that it was created, you know, by an African-American woman. And that is something that's very to be proud of. And a simple fact, what she had to go through, that they, you know, they wouldn't give her the patent because she was black. It's just like it's crazy how America is. Like, but I guess from that, it teaches you definitely perseverance and don't let anyone take away your vision. And if you have that vision, you hold on to it and you keep pushing and persevering until you get what you need and want.
Okay. I want to go to Mr. Harris.
Mr. Harris, not the same question right now at the moment, but I want to go to Nancy Lynching
and what you think about that particular definition segment.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really important thing. And matter of fact, recently, the Congress of the United States finally passed an anti-lynching law after 100 years, ever since the sister Ida B. Wells was talking about it, like I said, over 100 years ago. But I guess better late than never.
And what do you think about, Tanisha, what do you think about what Mr. Harris said about the anti-lynching bill actually being, you know, passed in Congress just recently, last month, after 100 years?
I think that's ridiculous. And it's like, it's a shame how America get away with all these atrocities, and they want to talk about Ukraine and Russia, but what you did to Americans on your land, and we have proof and evidence of it, it's ridiculous. Like, why would you wait? I understand, yes, you finally got it, but it's not even fully passed because it's still got to go through both, you know, the Senate and Congress for it to be passed. And who was the three people who voted against it out of the 422? Like, we have some real issues in America.
No doubt about that, right? And, you know, I find it interesting that you actually looked it up and found out there were three people who didn't vote. I want to continue our broadcast. First of all, I want to say, Mr. Harris, watch your feedback in the background. Sounds like you have some kind of volume up. But right now, I want to talk about Dr. D. Now, every week I would do a segment about Dr. D. Dr. D's House Calls is the name of the article that would be in the Amsterdam News every week. But it seems that Dr. D's has retired. But one thing we can't retire about Dr. D are your mind, your body, and your soul all works together congruently to help make a healthy person, all right? So anyone out there that might feel as though they need someone to talk to get their mind, their body, and their soul in order and straighten up, right? You can call 1-800-662-4357. That's 1-800-662-4357. And while I'm at it, I'd like to give out our phone number. If you hear or have any ideas or suggestions, right, about our podcast and or broadcast, you can call us at 973-692-6035. That number again is 97035. I want to urge even our panelists and everybody on the line now to call in and just give a shout out, if nothing else, and become part of our street team, because without you, we are nowhere. Okay, so that does it for me for my promo.
And right now, we're going to continue musically with a tune by Stevie Wonder and basically titled, You Haven't Done Nothing.
Okay, and we're back with the sounds of Stevie Wonder in the background. You haven't done nothing. And now it's time for our next student host with his segment of Diamond, Mr. Justin Hill. Good morning again.
Good morning, everybody. Again, this is student host Justin Hill on WSOU. And history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And for my diamond segment, it will be on Ida B. Wells. And Ida B. Wells was born 1862 and died 1931. She was a prominent journalist, activist, and researcher in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. As a skilled writer, Wells also used her skills as a journalist to shed light on the conditions of African Americans throughout the South. She was born into slavery during the Civil War. Once the war ended, Wells' parents became politically active in the Reconstruction era politics. Wells enrolled at Rust College but was expelled when she started a dispute with the university president. And that concludes my segment on diamonds. Again, this is student host Justin Hill on WSOU.
Okay, thank you very much, Justin, for that diamond segment on Ida B. Wells. Mr. Harris, I'm coming back to you, and we basically would like to ask the question, what do you think about Ida B. Wells, anti-lynching, and just kind of put it together for us? And I think you started to do that already. But if you would, please kind of repeat it again.
Right, yeah. When Justin brought up anti-lynching, that's the first person who came to my mind was Ida B. Wells, because she had fought, like I said, over 100 years ago, maybe even more during the Reconstruction, where supposedly we were equal citizens around the country. But after slavery, a lot of people didn't think that we needed to be humans, so they would just indiscriminately get people who were trying to do something for themselves. Like, because most of the people that if you notice, most of the people that were lynching had on suits and stuff. These were the businessmen in the community, men and women in the community, that were being lynched because they showed that they could do as well or not better than their so-called masters could. And that caused a lot of issues. So Ida B. Wells was very instrumental. She was trying to get legislation and stuff done, even though as a woman she couldn't be in politics back then, but she was very influential in a lot of other people talking about that kind of thing. And like I said, it's just been recently that the Emmett Till anti-lynching law passed the House of Representatives. Like Tanisha was saying, it still hasn't passed the Senate. So we still think that these things shouldn't be illegal. Welcome to America.
Okay, thank you. I want to go in a different direction. Tanisha, I'm going to call you out again, and I want to ask you, what are your viewpoints, what's your opinion, what do you think here? When we talk about Ida B. Wells, we're talking about women who were part of the struggle, but because they were women, and not to mention black women, they did not get the same recognition as the black men who are always recognized in the movement for making change. So basically the question is, how do you feel, how does that make you feel, where black women during that particular time period in history were just not getting the same recognition as black men? You know, basically women were treated like second-class citizens, even when they had good points. And I do want to add that Ida B. Wells is one of my favorite heroes in history.
I don't know how can I really answer that question, because when you look at the overall, I guess the treatment of us as overall, it wasn't equal to begin with. So I guess when you say African-American women, I think they did a very great job, because they're so there. What they did at that time is so pivotal in a time now. So their voices, I believe it was being heard, because like I just said, like African-American men at the time, like you heard them, but it was the only particular voices that they wanted to be heard for, I guess, the agenda of white supremacy. But when you look at it as a whole spectrum, is that they pretty much laid down the foundation for what we have now. Basically, that's what I would say to that.
Okay. And Mr. Harris, I'm going to come back to you. And how does that make you feel? Well, I think you might have a little bit more knowledge base about the fact that black women were underrepresented and really not allowed to be up front in the struggle against discrimination and underrepresentation in America.
Yeah, well, really, historically, this country has been a male-dominated society. And when it comes to black people standing up, a lot of times it was the woman, the black woman, that was really the backbone and structure of most of our activist groups. And, you know, even in the Black Panther Party, a lot of people don't even realize that there were more women in the Black Panther Party than men. And they were the ones that was actually doing and coming up with all the ideas that the Black Panther Party had as far as the women in crisis, you know, helping sisters who had kids but didn't have the proper nutrition. There was women that was running the after-school programs and the breakfast programs in the morning. It was the women that were coming up with all of the ideas, of all the activist ideas, but they just did it through the men. And it made it look like it was only the men doing this stuff, but the real background when it came down to everything that we've done, even in America and even before that little moment we had during slavery. You know, women have always been very strong and stuff in our community, and we've never tried to hold them back as far as letting them speak their minds and doing the things that was needed to help our nation move forward. So I've always loved black women.
Okay. Thank you for that input. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, but more importantly, you adults out there, it's time for another Aesop fable. Now, I want to remind you that you're never too old to learn a lesson, and that when you're green, you're growing, and when you're grown, you're rotten. This particular fable is titled The Fox Who Had Lost His Tail. It seems that a fox was caught in a trap. Escaped, but in so doing, lost his tail. Thereafter, feeling his life a burden from the shame and ridicule to which this exposed him to for not having a tail, he schemed to convince all the other foxes that being tailless was much more attractive, thus making up for his own depravity, not having a tail. He assembled a good many foxes and publicly advised them to cut off their tails, saying that they would not only look much better without them, but they would get rid of the weight of the brush, which was very great, a very great inconvenience. So he's convincing all the foxes to get rid of their tails. Now, one of them interrupted him and said, if you had not yourself lost your tail, my friend, would you not thus counsel us? Would you be here telling us to get rid of our tails if you would have never lost yours? And so what do you think the moral of that particular fable is? Starting, Walter, I'm going to come and remember there's never no wrong answer. and anything is accepted. What do you think about that particular favor?
I'm going to just take a shot at it. I think it has something to do with trust. Absolutely what I have.
Okay. Tanisha, you want to take a shot?
Yeah, you have to think for yourself. And just because someone comes with you with their opinion don't mean you have to take it.
Okay. And Justin, you want to take a shot at it? You think you know what the moral of that particular fable is?
I don't really know.
Oh, okay. You don't know? All right, that's an answer. Okay, Mr. Harris.
Yeah, well, I would really like to kind of piggyback on what Tanisha said. It's like your shortcomings don't have to be my shortcomings. You know, so just because you had some kind of issue and you dealt with it in a positive way to make you feel good doesn't mean I have to do the same thing you do for me to feel good about myself.
All right. Okay. So right now I want us to continue with 17 minutes left. I would like for our next student host, Walter Pierce, to get ready. Right, and it's time for our next segment of Curtains, which is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtain of the stage. You see, many recording artists have grown rich from the support of the community, but this particular segment shows us what support the community has gained from a particular artist. Now, Curtains is a review of the musical growth and history, the impact of a particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of the listening audience. It is musical and lyrical socialist consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of time between musical releases. Curtains serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist and this morning her genius and her involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. Take it away, Mr. Walter Pierce.
Thank you for that introduction. And now to continue on with my current segment, I will be talking about Cynthia Erivo. And see, Cynthia supports a numerous amount of foundations, which include the GLAAD Foundation, the Global Citizen, the NAACP, and the Rush Philanthropic Arts Foundation. You see, and the causes that she supports is at-risk or disadvantaged youth, children's civil rights, creative arts, human rights, and poverty. And a lot of y'all probably don't know who Cynthia Erivo is, but if you've seen the movie, she actually made one of the theme songs called Stand Up for that movie. And, you know, that movie and song has won numerous awards because it is a very powerful song. And, you know, it basically, the message behind the song Stand Up is really just to bring us all together, talking about African Americans, bringing us together, standing up and moving forward and progressing. And really that's the big message of the song. Just continue to progress, push through obstacles and rise to the top. You know, that's what she pushes. You know, she's constantly involved with promoting, you know, progression for African Americans, for youth in this country. And, you know, you have to give a shout out to her. And, you know, she still is young, and she will be creating more great music in the future, I hope. So thank you for listening to my current segment on Cynthia Erivo. This is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
I've been walking with my face turned to the sun. Weight on my shoulders, a bullet in my gun. Oh, I got eyes in the back of my head, just in case I had to. the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night. That's where I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home, far across the river. Can you hear freedom calling, calling me to answer? Gonna keep on keeping on, I can feel. And I fight with the strength that I got until I die. So I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home, far across the river. Can you hear freedom calling, calling me to answer? Gonna keep on keeping on.
Okay, the beautiful, beautiful melodic voice. And now we have one more segment, which is going to be Definitions, presented by Walter Pierce. Take it away.
Thank you. And you see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the toast of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, for definitions for this week, I will be giving you a Swahili term, which is furaha. And basically, furaha means joy or happiness. Now, what I have here is the meaning of each letter in furaha and how it relates to the word furaha. Now, when we start with F in the name furaha, it means everyone loves you. Overwhelming pride. Beware of the fall. Do not put your trust in superstition. Desire for justice brings enduring friendship. Work well under direction. Natural team player. Avoid conceit, especially over artistic abilities. Pursued diligently. Talent and intelligence will take you far. The U in furaha means you work harder to excel in your field and challenges. Take pride in achievements which are noteworthy. Family and homes are pride and joy. Give them attention. Voicing about success ends in disappointment. Avoid vulgarity. It has no place in your life. Lack of respect may hamper both another and see how life changes. Adhere to ideas they bring recognition. And honesty brings honor and distinction. The R in Faraha means you are a social butterfly. Powers of persuasion bring a position of prominence. Evasive nature sooner or later marks you as a schemer. You will make money in business, make career one of your professions, and expend too much energy on too many projects, and you will fail. But make sure that you continue to progress and learn from your mistakes so you can succeed. Going to the A, it means you can be very quiet when you have something on your mind. Vitality and enthusiasm inspire others. Tone to health and common sense overcomes. We go to the H, which means you are not judgmental. Happiness comes from pursuing ideal. Music and art enhance achievements. Ignore literature and drama. Criticism hurts. Numerous talents concentrate on one to find fame. Status is not enhanced by bragging. Now, as you can see, I just listed, you know, each letter in the word Faraha. And basically, they all have a message that you should take. And in reality, just be more happy, be more joyful, and that's what that means, Faraha, which is a Swahili term again. And, yeah, I thank you for listening to my segment on definitions. This is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
Okay, I'd like to bring in the panel, and we're going to take the time right now to kind of chop up today's show. We have about 6 minutes left to our program, and I'm going to play the melodic song and songwriter once again, Cynthia. And but before I do, what did you think, starting with Tanisha, Ms. Gardner, what do you think about today's program and some of the things that have been highlighted here today?
Today was a really great show, especially because March is, you know, Women's History Month. So I'm excited of all the new women that I'm going to learn about. And also, can you send us an email of what Walter just broke down? Because that was very interesting, and I definitely want to learn more about the word Faraha.
Okay, yeah, well, that's a Swahili word, and so we're going to have to get Walter to send me the information so I can share it with everybody. How about that? We're going to go straight next to Justin Hill. Justin, what do you think about today's show overall?
Today's show, I think it was great. I learned about a new Swahili word.
Okay. And we're going to go straight to Mr. Harris. What did you think about today's show?
You know, like all shows, this is very informational. Now, Sister Kenny, even though I kind of heard about her as an individual, but I wasn't aware that she came from a legacy of people doing stuff, creating stuff, you know, either out of necessity or out of, or for whatever motivation they had. And the whole idea of talking about sisters all the time, that's never a dead subject to me, you know, because like I was saying earlier, there's nothing more powerful than a black sister that has her head together and is willing to use her knowledge and stuff to propel the whole nation forward. And that's what they've been doing for not hundreds, but thousands of years, you know, because then from the continent, we were really a woman's first society. You know, the kingship didn't go through the father, it went through the mother, you know, and so the woman was always revered, you know, and it's important that we focus on that as much as we can, whenever we can.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Harris. Now, today we basically spoke about invention, and necessity being the mother of invention is something that we've always talked about and applaud.
But when you talk about Mary Kenner and her being underrepresented and discriminated against and her inventions being repressed and her not accepting that and still inventing what we call the walker today, that many people who have some type of debilitating handicap still use to this day. And when we talk about Ida B. Wells, a journalist who had her own printing press, who put out the information about anti-lynching, who was threatened, her life was threatened many times, but a woman who stood up for herself in more ways than one and was willing to also defend herself down to the last connection with where we come from, understanding that our history does not start with slavery, but it starts in Africa, and touching base with an African language like Swahili makes me feel inspired about today's show. And last but not least, I'd like for Walter to kind of close us out. And Walter, we're going to hear another song that you can introduce by Cynthia and pronounce her last name for me. But close us out, and we're going to end with Cynthia. Take it away, Walt.
I thank you for listening to another show of Quest Youth Radio. We're live every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter on Quest Youth Radio. But besides that, Quest Youth Radio is the best.
Everybody.
The best.
The best
radio.
Youth radio.
Radio.
Okay. And as far as that fable was concerned, the moral of that story is misery loves company. Right. So that being said, we don't have anything miserable. We have something great. Let's check it out.